Accession number 28688, Rule 5.
I couldn't hit any of those revolvers. I thought, there's no much point in carrying this thing around when I've got my rifle back again. But I never needed it. You know, I never had an occasion when I was out of the thing firing, as it were. But there was one funny story with the Padre. He went around the camps, and he had a driver and a scout car. And he was the guy. And the scout car had been, came on a summit and dropped a tree across the road and stopped it, which is normal. Once they stop you, that's when they usually opened up and fired on you. But nobody fired on him, but they were stopped, and the chap came from Mount Meldrum. And he was reversing on his road to get the thing rolling, and he got the other far back, and he got his back wheels in the ditch, and he couldn't get out. And he got stuck. And it was very, didn't like being stuck out there. But nobody was firing at him. But anyway, he said to the padre, excuse me, he said, I'll take the guns, and he fired the guns up the other bits that he thought it was likely to be somebody on there. And the padre was saying something, and he said, sorry, sir, what did you say? And the padre says, this is true. The padre says, I was praying to God, Glennie was his name, I was praying to God, Glennie, to save us. Glennie said, well, will you be quiet, sir? I can't hear if they're coming. So much for Glennie's faith. Anyway, Glennie and the padre was fine. Nobody ever knew. He was very glad to see us when we got born again.
And were you warned about what their tactics would be, you know, like the tree across the road? And
no one was there. I mean, you didn't hear one, but it was there or it wasn't there, you know. The thing was not to need to stop, get out of the road as fast as you could. But they usually came in a bit where, you didn't see it until you were on it, more or less.
Did it ever happen to you?
No, Glennie was the only one that I knew. I never had to stop.
And when you were out in the scout car as well, did you take things like hand grenades and that with you?
We had grenades in the car. So we were clipped on to things.
Were you quite well equipped?
Yeah. Oh, we had. I mean, we knew how to throw them and all that sort of stuff.
And what about raids or anything? Were you ever involved in any raids, you know, maybe raids in a village or?
No.
No, nothing like that.
No.
Riot control or anything?
I was never involved in that.
No. Okay. And how do you think the morale of the soldiers were, you know, especially them that were maybe going in and out of the jungle?
I don't remember they're all being low. It was. Everybody seemed to get on fine. You went in the jungle every day. You did patrols, and then you would have been maybe not. You didn't do patrols every second day or anything like that. You might be out of patrol, but you're sometimes there out all night, you do. And more than one night, you might have been out for a few nights. And they had the poncho capes that they made, bivouac things. We got trained in how to do that. Well, you were trained when you got there. That's how you put it up, sort of thing. I remember being out at night, meeting a patrol, and I thought I must be near a railway station because I could hear a train coming. And there wasn't a train, it was frogs in a pond. I can't tell you the noise I made. It was a horrendously loud noise, and it was all frogs. Because when we went down and shined a light on, you could see what on their faces. It sounded exactly like a train. You know, a train passing, and I remember another time I was sitting in the thing, it was dark, and there was a funny scraping noise, and it was a porcupine's scales was rubbing against the vehicle, it was scratching itself in the vehicle. That is about the most exciting thing that I had, really.
And did you see a lot of wild animals or anything?
Yeah, a lot of monkeys, and with a lot of these fruit bats, which we call them flying foxes, but they're big. I mean, I have a photograph of that album somewhere where I'm holding it, like you saw it, I think. They're big, they have a head like a little fox. As far as I know, they're harmless, humans. But they are big. Snakes, I saw a lot of them. But quite often a snake would be on the road or you know, I remember one occasion a cobra was on the road, it was in a bit of sun. There was a big canopy over the top, and there was a hole in the canopy, and the sun was shining on, and this beast was lying on the road. I remember it sitting up, it must have sat up about 2 feet off the ground, with its hood out, you know. I've got a very big smack in the face with my vehicles having. And I was like, I didn't care about how the wheels ran out, but it was, I didn't stop to see what had happened. Couldn't see my mirror, and it was no good bit to stop in anyway. So. But I never saw, I saw marks of tiger, but I never actually saw a tiger. I know apart from monkeys, but I think we did come across these sort of aborigine guys, little guys with blowpipes that kind of lived in the jungle itself. And they would live in a bed and would cultivate the ground and they would grow their fruit crops and then, until it just got a mess and the ground got exhausted with things. And then they would just move and go somewhere else. And they had blowpipes and they used to puff their dart at a monkey type thing or sort of mongoose type beast. There was elephants, of course. But I never saw wild elephants. I saw elephants, but they were, you know, been domesticated down there. But that was about the stretch of the wildlife.
And was it quite noisy at night, you know, with the wildlife?
There was never silence. When I got, I remember when I got demobbed, I was eventually sort of came out of the army at Keith, of all places. And I remember sitting in a hut where we were coming, half a dozen other guys, and I said, listen guys, listen to that. I said, what is it? I said, it's nothing, it's total silence. And I hadn't heard that since I went to Malaya for a night to have no noise at all. It was always noise. And it was cricket type noises, you know. But it was, and there was all kinds of creepy colours and big, big moths. I think I showed you some photographs of them as well. And they were big. And they used to have lamps in the guard room tent. But they just had kind of papers to open sides in it. The lamp would have been on the table and suddenly you would have heard a big clonk and a great enormous sort of beetle type thing had flown into the light and the eyes had looked at you. I mean, you move your hand, you could see their eyes following your hand. But leeches was there, that was the worst thing. If you crossed a burn, sometimes you would have been wading across a water, then a water to get to something of doing so. And you'd wear these laced up boots, and your trousers were tucked in and the boots were laced up the front. And it must be very little, I mean thin things, and they go through the eyelet of a boot or something. And then they get on your leg and they'll suck your blood. And they got up to it was that size, big fat things, full of blood. And you didn't want to pull them off because it could often somebody's left their head in a hot cigarette. Just touched their back and they used to nip their heads out themselves. But that was about the worst sort of dice guys that had pulled something out and then it festered and they got sort of an abscess in their leg. It's a little real nasty looking thing. But usually that was because of a leech bite.
And did you ever get any leech bites?
Oh yes, I had leeches, but I never had anything festered up. We used to get 50 fags a week in a Mars bar. And there was a chap, Ferris from Torrey, who didn't smoke, but he did like Mars bar, and I gave him my Mars bar for 50 Piccadilly. It came in a 10 with 50. And that 100 just did me the week. I'd be glad never stop smoking. But,
and was this free of charge?
Free of charge, oh yes. Free issue, yeah.
So you used yours to smoke and to get these things up?
Well, I used to use my fag, because you, I can't have 100 fags in 7 days, what does that come out as, with 15 fags a day or something, that would have been about it. But you used to blow an end out, you usually discover that when you're going out to shower, it's a very leech, really. You'd go out and get your fag going, get the leech off you.
But you didn't feel them before that?
No, you didn't feel them.
What about lice or anything?
Was
there any problem with that?
I never knew anybody that had lice, I don't think. That's it. I never had it, but I never knew anybody else that.
It wasn't a problem.
No.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier on the tent that you were trained to put up. Did they train?
Well, it was just a sheet.
Okay.
And like a poncho sheet, you know. And you just got two stakes in the ground or a branch or a tree and tied it onto that and sloped to the ground and you just lay under that. It was never cold, you see.
Mm-hmm. And did you have to sleep like that as well?
Well, I must have slept maybe once or twice like that, but if I was in a vehicle, I slept in sat in the vehicle, stayed in the vehicle. It was dry, there wasn't so many creepy crawly things about in the ground. But I have had a night or two sleeping under that thing. You didn't see, you walk up and down, you know, you walk up and you went to sleep, you walk up and you went to sleep. But,
and would you have just been lying on the ground?
No, you're laying under the poncho cape. I mean, you had one and I had one, and I'd put mine over. Either lie mine put yours up or lie yours put yours up, sort of thing. So it was usually doing it, but underneath it, you think.
Was there any other training that they gave you for the jungle then?
Oh, we certainly would have had. We were always. You walked in line, you know, you walked about 5 yards apart or something like that. You didn't know where you'd be up in a bunch. You never. It was like that you never got into a group of people. Whenever there was a vehicle stop beside, you get out of the vehicle and you lay along the side of the road, you know, taking cover, as it were. Of course, some of them didn't do it with bad results. But, I mean, that was what we were trained to do. What you avoided was standing about in a heap, especially at night and folks smoking, because you could see the little red glows and a sniper or somebody out there on the edge would just fire at the little red glows, you know.
And was the camp ever attacked?
No. Sorry?
Was your camp ever attacked? Would ever?
No, but we had got people in the camp, prisoners, and I wasn't involved with their captive, but they were in the camp, and it's the one time that I was really scared. I was on guard, and there was a dog, I don't know how we got a dog, but it was a dog that seemed to come with it, whoever was on guard, the dog came with it. And this people were in the camp, and they had, at that time, people, rather than let the prisoner tell what was happening, they would put their own people in to kill them. And I heard something, and the dog heard something, just outside the wire. And I thought, God, it's some of that killer squad's going around here. And the dog growled, and I thought, no, they want to shoot, because they'll use a knife or something, we'll keep it quiet. And I got myself into a little slip trench thing, which was water in the bottom of it. And my back was to this thing there, and I thought, well, at least I'll let it come out of here in the front, as it were. And I wanted the dog to go away, to stand in there. Anyway, nothing happened. But I remember actually praying, I can't remember what I prayed for, but it was very calming, the effect. And then from being sort of quite being absolutely terrified, I was then quite calm. And it would have been okay. At least I would have taken somebody with me rather before I went, because I knew it couldn't come from the back. But that's about the only time that I could really honestly say I was really scared. I mean, that time we were fired on, I didn't even know I'd been fired on until I went back in. But it was dark and I was by myself, except for that damn dog. But nothing happened. I never saw anybody. And whatever noise it was went away. Maybe it was a pig or something. I don't know. My imagination had taken over by this point.
And what about the prisoners? Were they okay, the ones that you had?
They were only with us for one night, I think. They'd been brought in. We had Iban trackers with us, and they would follow our trail or something, you know. And these people had been picked up, and they were brought in. They had gone to HQ Company to be interrogated. So we had them maybe for the one night that they were there.
And did you have facilities to keep them, or were they just in a room?
No, they would have been just locked in a shed or something somewhere, but they would have been guards on.
And you mentioned a slit trench there then as well. Was there slit trenches around the perimeter or something?
No, but there was bits that you could have taken cover in. There would have been slit trenches, but not trenches like the First World War trenches. Nobody ever gets in them, because there were often queer things in them. I tell you, I got at least a jump into that that night.
And you mentioned guard duties as well.
Well, you did. I probably got excused guards a good lot because of maybe I was away a lot. You did two on and four off, starting at 6 at night, 6 in the morning. So there was a, if you're on at 6, you were off at 8. And then you came on again at 8, that was 9, 10, 11. You're on at 12 for 2 hours, and then you were off again till 6. So you're on maybe twice during the night. And everybody did that.
Okay. And what would your normal hours of work been, you know, there? I know that you often had to go to parties and that, so...
Well, that wasn't considered the work. No, we got up in the morning and went breakfast, and then I think I went probably about 5 o'clock when I stopped. Would have probably been in parade about 7, I would think. There was a lot of calls and all that sort of. So it all seemed perfectly normal, if you know what I mean. It was. I remember being invited. There was a planter had married a girl from Tarvis here, and he was. Sam Mee was his name. She was May Tet, May T-A-I-T, Tate, the folk head of the hotel in town. And her brother was in the signals. And I think it was, of course, I wasn't quite. Come on, I said, Ferguson, there's a woman for you on the phone. I said, oh, come on, must be the sun's got at you. No, there is a woman on the phone. Oh, come on. There is a woman. Get in there, there's a woman on the phone. And this was Flora Tate saying that Mark's coming for the weekend. Really, could I, do you think that I would be able to come to Malacca? And he was a planter, you see. And I said, I can't, I'm going to ask. So I went, and the CEO said, oh, lucky you, sort of thing. I said, well, I'm a good bit away from Malacca here. He said, you're in the transport section, you don't want me to tell you to take the thing. So I remember driving to Malacca with the thing, took the road, I left it in the police station, and went to the dates for a weekend. I remember getting a cup of tea, a very delicate little cup, and I'd always been drinking my tea with a big white jug. And when I picked my teacup, it went way up in the air. I was expecting it to be heavy, it was very light. And I remember running up and down the stair, and I had a flush laughing, which was something you never thought about, but it was, I hadn't been on a stair for a while, and if I hadn't been in a flush laughing for a while either. But it was a real treat.
So you couldn't get leave?
Well, that was the only one that I got. Yeah, I got leave. We could go to Singapore. We usually went by parlour. Two or three of us went together, and there was a Britannia Club place where we could stay. It was like a hostel type thing, and we used to go to, there was sort of like dances and cabarets and happy worlds where you hostesses danced with you, and there was a Raffles Club, which was a big army establishment just across the road from the Raffles Hotel, and there was all kinds of people in there. There was Frenchmen going to Vietnam, there was Americans going to Korea, there was British going to wherever they were going in Malaya, and it was all just a huge nappy, but there's swimming pools and billiard rooms, and there used to be real scraps getting up there, and the Navy police used to come in, and by God, they could sort it out. They had great big batons and they walloped. They could wallop, and they seemed to restore order very quickly.
So you got down to Singapore as well?
We got to Singapore, and I don't know how often it went, but I've been in Singapore maybe two or three times in my time that I was there. And that trip to Malacca. And the other thing that we could do, some guys, we had some Navy guys come up, and they had an exchange thing where the Navy boys came into the jungle for a fortnight or a month, and we had guys that went onto a ship for a month, and they went to Australia. And I would have quite wanted to do that, because I was one of the two scout car drivers. I wasn't allowed to go. And, you know, they could take people out of platoons. And they would probably say, I didn't go with me anyway. So.
And when you spoke about the police there, had you any military police up with you?
Not in our camp, but there was military police in Dampin, in the headquarters company. And they would go sort of round towns at night and picking up the leaves that fell by the wayside. The blackbirds were named Peter and all. And they could pick up, if they were short of guys, they'd just pick up a few guys and put a blackbird over there, but they used to pick them up. But it wasn't a Malaya, but I had to do Z Reserve too when I came out. And I remember being in Scarborough, and again I was driving a truck. And we were with the MPs picking up the lost souls, as it were. And this guy, who was well oiled, I think, he'd got up at the back of the three-tonner, and it was quite high, three-tonner. And he must have been standing with his back to the, facing the back. He was looking at the back of the car. And I must have let the clutch out with a jerk. But he fell over the back of the door, and I heard his head hit the pavement. We did. Well, I jumped out Louis, but he hadn't even broken the bottle. He was still holding the bottle. But he must have had a lump in his head next morning, like an egg, I would think. We gathered him up, we shoved him back and over again, and away we went to come home. That was my only time that I was working with MPs was in Scarborough after I came out of the army. And then picking up these boys at night.
Okay, so you didn't have them in the camp? No.
And
in the camp as well, did they have a perimeter fence?
Oh yes, it had a fence. Uh-huh.
And at night time, was it lit up or anything?
Till 10 o'clock, okay. And then the generators went off. The generators, you see, they make electricity. And at 10 o'clock the lights went out. They had candles and torches and things. And the guard room would have had a light on it. There would have been lights in certain areas. Maybe a bash or somebody would have been doing something in a workshop or something. I can't have been a light in it. It would have been a teletype lamp or something.
And was it very dark outside?
Oh, yes. It got dark early, you see. There was no long twilight like this. I mean, it went from being light to dark. That's in half an hour. The darkness went down very quickly.
And whilst you were there, was there new, I don't mean new recruits, because they would have all been through basic training, but was there new people coming out? And, you know, were there changes in the companies?
Well, we didn't have many changes in A Company. We were virtually... quite a lot of us all went in at the same time, so we would have been there, you know, and walked them out again at the same time. But we must have had new boards there. But there would have been maybe like a new Remy fitter or a new armourer or somebody like that would have been a place. But the actual Gordons themselves we didn't get many changes in there.
And was there much distinction between ranks at that point as well?
Between who?
The ranks, you know, between...
Oh, yes, I mean, there was the officer's bed and there was the ordinary jock's bed. And I mean, we always saluted if you'd a hat on. But it was... It depended who you had in charge. I mean, we had a Major Watt who was a very pleasant guy, but the men respected him enormously. The sergeants struck terror at the border of the Rangers, and Potter would have been the biggest terror for including officers, I think. No, he was a character, Potter, but a good cook.
What was his rank, do you remember?
I think he was a sergeant.
Okay. And did they tend to shout? You know, did the sergeants tend to shout at the ordinary soldier?
Oh, I saw them needed to be shouted at, sort of thing. Yeah, I knew. It wasn't a case, do you mind? Get your butt up there now! it was okay, it was fine.
And you mentioned the Gurkhas.
Yeah.
Do you remember what your opinion of the likes of the Gurkhas were?
Oh, I thought they were great guys. But they were so pro-British, it's not true. I mean, remember when I was coming home the ship, there were some Gurkhas coming back with us on the boat. And I said, there are big changes in weather when you get to it, and it'll be cold, and February, he was coming home. Sleet, and freezing. He wouldn't even hear about it. He thought the weather was perfect. I think it was perfect, but no, they were terribly, terribly pro-British.
And had he been in Britain before?
No, I think he'd ever been in Britain before. Okay. They were great guys. I mean, if they went out on a patrol... There was one went out and they had lost some guys on the patrol and they put out another patrol and they I forget what they said, they wouldn't come back until they had three for every one of theirs that they had lost. And I think they had about six when they came back. Nobody asked whether they were prisoners or not, but I suspect they were indeed, but anyway. Prisoners were a pain in the neck out there. But no, they were good guys.
And was there ever any occasions when there was any other troops there, you know, like Australian or anything like that?
No, not around me. We had the... I think it was Green Howards that we had with us. And there was... I remember picking up the mail. There was a Lord somebody in there. He was a private in the Green Howards, this guy. I said, who the hell's Lord somebody here? It's me. And he was just annoying.
And this was in with you?
No, he wasn't in the Gordons, but he was. He must have been in a detachment or something, come into the camp or something. No, it was a pleasant time.
And was there any difference between the national servicemen and maybe men who had joined up?
Yes, we were with regulars. There was regulars with us, and mainly the national servicemen looked at them with a little awe. You know what I mean? They had great experiences to tell, which they told frequently, and we were just loons and did look up to them. Yeah.
But what about the chaps of your same age? You know, the ones who had joined up. Was there any difference between someone who had joined the Gordon Highlanders and yourself? Did you look on them any differently?
No. There was a chap Black from 5A, we were together all the time. Was guys from Old Melbourne that I never knew then before. The only guy I knew before that was with me there was this chap Black from 5A. And he was a chap that never took a vaccination consciously. He always passed out before he came to heaven with the needle. Unless he got better at it when I wasn't looking, but he never took one when I was there. And that TAV injections we used to get was quite sore. Of course, the great thing was when it was after me, someone said, "How are you, smart?" But no, it was fine. It was okay.
Okay. I've just got to ask about Christmas and New Year time within the regiment out in Malaya. Did anything special happen at that time?
Well, yeah, a special lunch at Christmas time. And then, of course, we had a great big punch bowl that everybody poured whatever they could into this bowl. And it seemed to be on New Year's Day, we had often a football match, a fancy dress parade with the officers. And but apart from that, that was about it. We didn't have a Christmas tree, but we sang sort of Christmas carols and that sort of stuff.
And this was still at the camp, was it?
Oh, at the camp, yeah.
And did you manage to get church services or anything there?
Well, we didn't have a padre. He did come and give us a service every now and again, just in the camp again. I can't remember how often, not that often anyway. But I think we did have movies every week. We got a touring sort of projector thing and a white sheet over the side of a truck. Oh, it was much to look forward to. We all looked forward to the movies. Which was even funny, it was the comments from some of the dark. In the darkness, there was comments coming that were not always plentiful. It was quite amusing sometimes.
And did you get a radio? I know we've spoken about you were in radio.
Yeah, you had radios. You could have radios, yeah.
And could you pick up any stations there? Was there any forces stations?
I think we must have done. We used to read a lot. I read a lot when we were there. But, because it's a long time ago, you know, I can't remember all the things that happened. But the festive season was an occasion. We would have probably done something in the camp.
And you mentioned books. Was there a library or could you obtain English books, Islana?
Well, again, we swapped books, a lot of books, and folk got books sent out. You know, people sent books out. And, I think there wasn't a library in as much, but there would have been a place where there was books. Somebody had read a book, they would put it down there, and somebody else would have read, put it, say, in one place in the Navi. And you could pick up a book that you hadn't read, and it seemed to be plenty to read.
Okay, and that was probably by now 1953, coming towards.
Well, I would have got there by the end of 52, and I came away from there in January 54, so I'd have been 53. Would have been all in Malaya.
And as it was getting nearer to the end of your national service, did you think you might stay in, or?
No, I tell you what you did get as you got here. You got what they called boat happy. You thought I'd been here for all this time. I wouldn't like to get now shot now, as it were, sort of thing. Which you were very careful. Are you sure you want me to go down there?